ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to the Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
I know you've called me to be a pastor one day in Wisconsin, but I need to go to class. I need to go to school. There's so much I need to learn. And what he said to me, and this is just to me, is I don't want you in college. I don't want you to get a degree that you could put on the wall and point to and let people know, look, I did this. He says, I'm going to teach you. So I've been going to the school of hard knocks for a long time now. But God is the one that taught me. And yet people can't accept that. They're almost taken back. You didn't go to seminary? No. You know what? Here's the thing. I have an encounter with God just as you do. And he teaches me the things I need to learn. And the sermons I give are for me. You just get to listen in on. And God is speaking to my heart. Sorry. But that's just the way it is. It's interesting how we use the world standards to judge people. Again, you look at this guy, John the Baptist. He has this huge following. You go, how's he doing it? He doesn't have a program. He doesn't have anything. How is he doing this? And we look at the world standards to judge by. I don't know if I got this memorandum a while back. It was special. This is really interesting. It was to Jesus, son of Joseph, woodcrafter, carpenter shop, Nazareth. And it was from the Jordan Management Consultants in Jerusalem. And this is what they wrote to Jesus. Dear sir, thank you for submitting the resumes of the 12 men you have picked for the management positions in your new organization. All of them have now taken our battery of tests. We have not only run the results through our computer, but also arranged personal interviews for each of them with our psychologist and vocational aptitude consultant. It is the staff's opinion that most of the nominees are lacking in background, education, and vocational aptitude for the type of enterprise you are undertaking. They do not have the team concept. We would recommend that you continue your search for persons of experience in managerial ability and proven capability. Simon Peter is emotionally unstable and given to fits of temper. Andrew has absolutely no qualities for leadership. The two brothers, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, place personal interest above company loyalty. Thomas demonstrates a questioning attitude that would tend to undermine morale. We feel that it is our duty to tell you that Matthew has been blacklisted by the Greater Jerusalem Better Business Bureau. James, the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, definitely have radical leanings, and they both registered a high score on the manic depressive scale. One of the candidates, however, shows great potential. He's a man of ability and resourcefulness, meets people well, has a keen business mind, and has contacts in high places. He is highly motivated, ambitious, and responsible. We recommend Judas Iscariot as your controller and right-hand man. All the other profiles are self-explanatory. We wish you every success in your new venture. Now, we laugh at that, but that is what we even see today. We have to be careful just because someone doesn't look the part, outwardly speaking. But man, what has God done? What is God doing? Is our heart right with God? For John the Baptist, man, he did exactly what God had called him to do. And for these religious leaders who could have had an encounter with God, they just wanted to know, who are you, John, and who gave you permission to do what you're doing? They wanted to know because they had to give an answer to those who sent them. What do you say about yourself? How sad that the words of John bounced off their heart. Why? Because they hardened their heart to the things of God. They weren't listening. They had closed their heart to what God was saying. That's going to lead us now to our next point, the witness of the word. And that is so important. Look at verse 23 here in John chapter 1. He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord. And the prophet Isaiah, as the prophet Isaiah said. Now those who were sent were from the Pharisees. I like what John does here. They ask him who he is. And he says, look, I'm a nobody. I'm here to prepare the way for somebody. I'm here to prepare the way for the Lord. And there are many in the church today who want to draw people to themselves. Not John the Baptist. He said, I'm not the Christ. And they said, you know, in verse 25, which we'll get to, why then do you baptize if you're not the Christ, or nor Elijah, nor the prophet? These religious leaders clearly understood that John was not claiming to be the Messiah. He was not even claiming to be Elijah or the prophet. Just a voice crying in the wilderness to make straight the way of the Lord. Why was that so important? Because John is quoting out of the scriptures. He's quoting from Isaiah. And he's saying, I am this person in the wilderness that is preparing the way for the Lord. This is the witness of the word. Now, again, you read these Bible stories, right? You think, okay, that was then, but we don't see those kind of things today. Well, think about that. What are you doing for the Lord now? Now, yeah, we're not John the Baptist. I'm not saying that at all. But what has God called you to do? For me as a pastor, I know for certain that God has called me to do this. And it's not because, you know, I'm this great teacher or great speaker or whatever. How can I do it? Well, like I said, it's never really been about me. It's always about the Lord and what he has done in my life. And I'm just the spokesperson for him. I mean, remember in the Old Testament with Balaam, the prophet? He used a donkey. Okay? He can use anybody who's willing to be open and be used by him. Just spend time with Jesus and it's amazing what he can teach you. John the Baptist knew exactly what God had called him to do, and he stepped out in faith. And he didn't exalt himself. He didn't think he was so great. You know, again, you got these huge, huge churches that have all these satellite churches where you get video feed from the main church. And I'm thinking, you've got a huge church and you have no pastors that could oversee those churches. You have to depend on one guy. But when he dies, are you just going to show DVDs from his services? What are you going to do if he dies? You see, it's not about me. When I go home to be with the Lord, God will raise another person up to teach, to be the pastor. Because just read Moses, right? When Joshua was taking over, what did the Lord say? Oh, Moses, my great servant. Oh, he's going to be missed dearly. No. He says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now we're moving on with Joshua because he's taken over. That's it. Moses was used by God, but it was God who was using Moses. It wasn't Moses' strength or his might. It was the Lord's. And we have to remember that. When the Lord brought me up here, he had confirmed in my heart through his word what this church was to be about. Because again, there are lots of churches in town. There are lots of churches in town. Why do we need another church? Well, this was already here. They just needed a pastor. But why? Why should I come up here when there's all these churches here? And here's the reason. It's what he gave me for this church. From Acts 2:42, it was a message I gave almost 26 years ago to the day. It was pretty close. From Acts 2:42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship, in breaking of bread, and in prayers. That's what he put upon my heart for this body of believers. That's what he wants me to do, to teach the people he's entrusted to me, the word of God, and not just teach it, but to live it. Let them see that the word of God is living in my life, to encourage them so they can grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're to be there for each other, that koinonia, that fellowship. Why? So we can help each other out in our walk with the Lord. I can honestly tell you, as a pastor, there are lots of things that, you know, I hear about people in the church that are just awesome. But I'm so blessed when I hear that when new people come, they feel so welcome. They feel that they've been here for years because that's what we're to be about. We're part of the body of Christ. We should welcome people like that. We're to share in communion and share meals together. Why? Because it draws us close together. And we're to be a church of prayer. Again, so important. We have prayer on Saturdays. We have prayer twice a month for the women. And we have prayer at the end of each men's Bible study. That's corporate prayer. Obviously, it's not the only time we pray. We have the prayer chain where people can call in or email their prayer requests. I send them out to the prayer team. Our weekly prayer requests on Sundays that we get, we copy them and I email them out. And that has truly been my passion for the last 26 years I've been here. And I'll tell you what, if the Lord hadn't called me, if he hadn't shown me through his word, then there's no reason for me to do this. I would have never lasted 26 years if I didn't know that God had called me. So what has God spoken to you about serving him? I know many are involved in ministries here. The worship team, working in the sound room, Sunday school, and infant toddler ministry, cleaning the church, working outside, cutting grass, ushers, prayer warriors, and the list goes on if I've forgotten anything. And here's the thing. When you are serving the Lord, there's always going to be opposition. What happened with John the Baptist? He's doing his thing, right? And here comes the opposition from Jerusalem to stop it. I'll tell you what, when you know God has called you to do something, nothing will move you from the course that God has set. Just be sure what God has called you to do. Many times what people do is they move away from God's word and they get involved in all kinds of things that are not of God. One writer said, two generations of postmodern thought has led to growing cynicism about truth claims, institutional authorities, and even history. Among revisionists, the historical record is a product of oppression, coercion, written by the ruling class. At best, history is unreliable. At worst, it's propaganda, a story written by the winners in the perpetual struggle for power. That also goes for the biblical record, which many dismiss as myth or legend. A person who was eminently qualified to answer that charge was C.S. Lewis. As a literary historian and scholar in ancient literature, Lewis wrote this, "I am perfectly convinced that whatever else the Gospels are, they are not legends. I have read a great deal of legend, myth, and I'm quite clear that they are not the same sort of thing." He went on to explain why he came to that conclusion. They are not artistic enough. Most of the life of Jesus is totally unknown to us. And no people building up a legend would allow that to be so. In other words, they lack the drama, the colorful detail, and rich imagination of the ancient storytellers. And here's the thing. If God has called us, let's make sure that it's according to his word. The church has moved into an area of being a social church, that we just go out and we help people, which is great. We are to help people. But if that's all we do and not share the love of Christ with them, we are making their life a little better now so they can spend eternity in hell. Do you see how dangerous that is? You help people and you bring them the gospel message. John the Baptist heard the calling of God upon his life and he acted upon it in accordance with the word of God. He didn't try to water it down just to get a bigger following. He just spoke it forth. And God was drawing the people. That's what he told the Jewish religious leaders. It's just like Isaiah the prophet said, that's what I'm doing. So the witness of the word, important. And lastly, the witness of Christ. Look at verse 25. And they asked him, saying, why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there stands one among you whom you do not know. It is he who is coming after me is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. These things were done in Bethabara, beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. John just told them who he was. He used the scriptures, Isaiah 40, verse 3, to prove his point. And after he shares that, they say, why then do you baptize if you're not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet? Here's the problem for these religious leaders. We need more information because, why? The word of God was not enough for them. John the Baptist said, hey, look, this is exactly what Isaiah the prophet said of me. This is what I'm doing. This is why I'm doing it. And I guess, you know, it wasn't that the word of God was not enough. It just didn't fit in with their preconceived ideas. about what was going on in their day. You know, it's a problem when the Word of God does not fit with what we want to do or what we want to believe. But God's Word is right 100% of the time. For John, he's baptizing in the Jordan those who had repented, those who turned back to God. "Why are you doing this?" they said. "If you're a nobody. He's not the Christ, he's not the prophet, he's not Elijah." Who gave John the authority to do what he was doing? And as I said, God did. He verified it with his word. And you got to love John because he is a humble man. He says, "Look, I'm a nobody. I'm the lowliest of slaves compared to the one who's coming, the Messiah. I'm baptizing with water, superficial cleansing, symbolic. It didn't cleanse you of your sins. But when the Messiah comes, he's going to cleanse you completely from your sins. He's going to cast them as far as the east is from the west to be remembered no more." That's from the Old Testament, from Isaiah, from the Psalms. Think about it. Could the animal sacrifices cast your sins as far as the east is from the west to be remembered no more? Absolutely not. They covered them for a time. You went in, you brought your sacrifice, they offered it. "Hey, my sins are covered." I go out, I'm riding on my camel, another camel jockey comes by, cuts me off. I get mad, "Oh, I got to go back, another sacrifice." It never ends. That's why there were no seats in the holy place and holy of holies, because the priests never sat down. The work was never finished. But what did Jesus say when he hung on the cross of Calvary? "It is finished, paid in full." And what did he do? He sat down at the right hand of the Father. What does that mean? It means the work was completed. Wow. I'm so thankful for that. Think about our own lives and the work that God has called us to do. We're basically nobodies. Look at us compared to the world, right? I mean, I shouldn't say Hollywood, but, you know, everyone looks at Hollywood or athletes. They look at the movers and shakers, those that are, you know, the Rockefellers, the Bill Gates, and those people. Look at them. They're somebodies. We're just nobodies. How could we do this? We have no resources. We don't have the wealth to accomplish this stuff. The education, the people, we don't have any of that. What do we have? God. As far as I can tell, God is all-knowing. He's all-powerful. His presence fills the universe. And he can accomplish in us all that he wants us to do. All God says is, you need to walk by faith. God has given us the authority to proclaim the gospel to a lost and dying world. And that's all I need. My authority given to me by Jesus, who's my Savior. I look at our nation today, what are we trying to do? We're trying to rewrite our history, aren't we? We don't realize that this was a Christian nation. Not perfect. Not everyone in this nation was Christian when it got started. But they came here for their freedom to worship God and not be told by the state what denomination was the main one. They had that freedom. And it wasn't for religions, it was for Jesus Christ. Go check out the Ivy League schools. Look at their history, if you could still find it on the internet, probably can. Their whole purpose, these Ivy League schools, was to make men grow in their faith so they can go out and minister the gospel of Jesus Christ. Look at those schools today and how far they are, how dark it is in those schools. Very interesting, in some states back then, you had to be a born-again Christian to even be elected. Wow. Where are we today? Where are we writing history? We're changing. This was never a Christian nation. They were here for greed and to make money. They didn't care. They're rewriting the history. And whoever controls the history controls the people. Here's the one who controls the history, Jesus Christ and his word. And no one can take this away from us. They can try. But think about the people like Voltaire, who said that, you know, after his death, within 100 years, Christianity will be gone, the word of God will be gone. And in a short period of time after his death, the Geneva Bible Society bought his house and printed Bibles from his house. Voltaire is gone. God's word is still here today. I'm going to put my faith in the one who loves me so. And I'm going to trust him no matter how dark it may get out there, because he said that we are the light of the world now. I told you before, as we were going through this, our study in John, that God indwells us. as Christians. And you know what? We shine. We're kind of like the temple of God. That's what Paul said in Corinthians. So, in a sense, God shining in us, don't cover them up. Let that light shine so people can see Jesus. That's what we're to do. That's what John the Baptist was doing, is letting people see Jesus, pointing people to Jesus. And yeah, I have to admit, the wickedness that's going on in our nation today, I am just shocked at how fast it's happened. I'm amazed at how immorality is flaunted in the face of God, and they don't care. My heart grieves because their eternal destiny weighs in the balance. We need to shine today. Don't make the message so complicated. It's really simple. We're sinners separated from God, right? We need Jesus. It's as simple as that. Now, I wouldn't go telling people, you're a sinner, you need Jesus. Let them tell you. What do I mean? Ask them. Are you good enough to get into heaven? Most people say, well, you know, I'm not perfect, but I'm pretty good. I do okay. That's great. That's wonderful. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever lied? Oh, come on. Of course, everybody lies. Okay, so you're a liar. All right. Have you ever stolen anything? Well, I mean, come on. Hey, don't be so nitpicky. Well, if you stole something, what does that make you? A thief. So you're a lying thief so far. Do you want me to go on? See, I am too. And that's why I needed Jesus, my Savior. You see, they told you that they're not good enough to get into heaven, that they're not perfect, because the only righteousness God will accept is perfection. And that's what we're here to do. You know, John the Baptist was preparing the way for the Messiah's first coming. Here we are today, you know, some 2,000 years later. What are we doing as Christians? We are preparing the way for the Messiah's second coming. Was it a dark world back then? Yeah, Rome was in charge. It was pretty wicked. Just study the history of Rome. It's pretty dark in our day. But the same God who worked back then, who within a very short period of time, some 30 years or so, the Christian message went out through the whole known world without, again, the internet, text messaging, all that stuff. Can we do it today? We can absolutely do it, because our God is awesome. And all he wants is looking for people who will humble themselves and pray and seek his face. He wants to use us to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, what about John the Baptist? He said that he's not Elijah. Well, Elijah is coming back before the second coming of Jesus, before he returns to this earth. We know that. That's what the scriptures say. Malachi talks about that. But John the Baptist came, it says, in the spirit and the power of Elijah. He was preparing the way, just like Elijah will prepare the way. Elijah, and I believe the second witness in Revelation is Moses, they are preparing the way. I believe it's through their witness that we see the 144,000 Jews get saved, and myriads of people come to know the Lord during that seven-year tribulation period. So he was a type of Elijah. And here's the thing. What an opportunity we have, guys. You know, we look at Vacation Bible School and we think, oh, you know, you're just ministering with the kids. I don't see it that way. I see it as we get to minister to these kids about Jesus. And I'll tell you what, you know, the first day's kind of rough because they don't know everything that's going to happen and they're getting to learn. But by the time the second, third, fourth, fifth day, these kids are jumping up and down. They're having a great time learning about Jesus. They're answering questions. And they are so smart. They are like sponges, and they just suck this information into their lives. And I pray that they take it home and they share it with their families, because the world is trying to conform them into the image of this world. God wants to transform their lives like he wants to transform our lives. We have to let our light shine brightly. Why? Because the Lamb of God has come to take away the sins of the world. That's the message. That's the wonderful news. It's the greatest news ever. I'll tell you what, it's so simple that a child can understand it, and it's so complex that theologians can spend the rest of their life examining it, and they'll never be able to dig every nugget out of that. God so loved the world that he gave his only beloved Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's pray. Father, we come before you, and we thank you so much for your word. And just the encouragement, Lord, that you use nobodies to do great work. And we're so thankful for that, Lord. Help us to be open to the things you're showing us, the things you want us to do. We love you so much, and we want to shine brightly for you, the love of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. Lord, thank you. Bless this day, Lord, and bless this week. In Jesus' name, amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.